Y.com.
Come on, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
All right, folks, welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast, where I don't pick the songs. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Sarah Yacoub and DJ Kirk Bangstead, who wants to explain the song choice has nothing to do with, it's not like Dr. Ruth Westheimer is our next guest. That's not where you're going with this at all, Kirk.
No, I picked Let's Talk About Sex by Salt and Pepper from the days when I was, I think, in high school, because we're going to have an awesome guest who is just unseated in the Wausau School Board by a group called the Wisconsin Family Council, who wants to ban sex education in school, among so many other things that are backwards. So I just kind of wanted to say, let's talk about sex is a way to kind of poke the bear a little bit, which, you know, I kind of love to do. So
not you,
but without further ado, Sarah, kind of give us a background on what's going on here, please.
Absolutely. We have the pleasure of speaking in a moment with Jane Rush, a retired corrections officer whose reasons for serving on the Wausau School Board were simple. She wanted to give back to the community that gave so much to her. She was on the board for the last 15 years, one of, if not the longest serving member. She attended education conferences, conventions, and read books and articles about how to best educate children. But she lost her seat in the election a few weeks ago, after conservative donors inside and beyond Wausau flooded the local school board race with cash and extremely political campaign ads that ended with a right-wing takeover of the board. And, well, to almost no one's surprise, it's already leading to talk of books being banned. Thanks for being on the show, Jane. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So, Jane, the first question is this group that kind of seemingly organized and helped kind of get you out of the school board is the Wisconsin Family Council. Can you talk about who they are and what they stand for?
Well, they started as a group to get corporal punishment back in schools, sex education. and just basically for the right wing to take over the school boards. And on the Wausau School Board is one of their board members, Lee Webster. And he, as soon as this election was over, he was off and running and put these four books up to be exchanged for other books with no reason other than it caused controversy in a couple other districts, which is why this isn't actually book banning. It is insidious, because with book banning, the entire board and the person putting the book forward to be banned have to read the book in their entirety and then say why they want this book to be banned. And they didn't have to do any of that. These books weren't even looked at. It was just what these other districts said. Mostly Williamson County School District in Tennessee was where most of the information came from.
Oh, well, I mean, God, if we're going to let a county in Tennessee, you know, dictate education policy in Wisconsin, I mean, sign me up for, you know, how to make moonshine 101. My apologies to the good people of Tennessee. Let's talk a bit more about these four books. We don't, I don't know the extent of detail you want to get into about it, but I mean, to what degree do they deal with either, is it about sex and gender? Is it about race? Is it about other things? What are the topics of these four books as far as you can see?
Hatchet is mostly because it mentions divorce, and heaven forbid we cannot have kids learn that there's divorce out there in fourth grade. God. The other three are more about race and not wanting kids to learn about some of our bad practices we've had in our history. You know, we want to whitewash our history and make it all look glossy and happy. And Lord forbid learn.
So Jane, you sent me an article about this. Is one of them like this Martin Luther King picture book?
That book hasn't been yet. And I think a lot of these are going to go under the radar. The four books are all for fourth grade so far are Hatchet, George versus George, which is about the American Revolution and King George and George Washington, seeing the revolution from both sides. And it talks about how Blacks were treated, and we don't like to hear negative things there, because if you ignore race, it goes away. and the other two books were Walk Two Moons, which is about Native Americans and the horrific things that we've done to them come into play. It's not about the whole book, but it comes into play, and we don't want kids to learn that. And they talk in that one about Mount Rushmore, about how upsetting it was to the Native Americans to have four white men carved on that mountain when it was a Native American religious place. And then the other one was Woods Runner. And they just talk about it's too graphic and it's too upsetting for children.
So maybe we should talk about it from not so much the incendiary part of it, which is, you know, obvious, of course, but the response, I imagine, where we should go next is about fourth graders, because you talked about that this is the level that we're talking about here. And again, as Sarah explained, you do your homework as a school board member. Yeah, you don't, you know, shoot from the hip. You have to weigh, you know, what is appropriate, what is not. But that doesn't just mean saying that everything is inappropriate because you're only fourth grade. Fourth grade at some point, you know, I certainly know my parents were going through divorce at that point. So what are your thoughts on the fourth grade level that's being discussed here for these topics that, you know, children of that age can't be hidden from?
Well, these kids are living the divorce thing. Most of them know kids that have divorced parents or are living through it themselves or have lived through it, or are kind of hoping that they can live through it if they're living in a precarious household. And as for the other books, it's just, you know, books are there for a reason, and it helps kids to know what's going on in life. It helps prepare them for life. And the reason these books were chosen because they're at the fourth grade reading level, and they offer a variety for the students, and some of it is historical fiction, some of it's fiction, and they trying to make it a well-balanced program. And then we came in as the Wausau School District and made it unbalanced because it made some adults uncomfortable.
Okay, so a couple things. One, thank you so much for sharing all this and bringing this much needed conversation. I'm the mother of a fourth grader, and he has divorced parents. And he's asked me, and he's expressed hardship about feeling left out, or feeling like he can't say hi to me with his dad or his dad with me because he's embarrassed that we're divorced, and giving him the understanding that you're not alone and our family is different, but we love you and we're still a family. So depriving kids of the ability to understand and empathize what modern families look like is just cruel. And as you're saying these books, I'm ordering them from him. The second thing is Uncle Tom's Cabin for me was so eye-opening and just really sort of expanded not only my empathy, but just my desire to learn. And so this idea that we're not going to challenge our kids to think or self-examine or ask good questions, I mean, isn't that the point of school, to make them free-thinking individuals? It's just astounding.
I find these far right groups they live with blinders on. They live in an America that never was and never will be. And during our last round of going through our sex education program, Mr. Webster was adamant that we talk to kids about marriage being a man and a woman and not to discuss divorce at all. So they just want to live in a world where they don't believe any of this stuff happens. And if we don't talk about it, it's not there.
Okay, let me come back. I think I love this conversation, but it just, I mean, it's occurring to me that school boards, like, it's not their job to figure out which books, you know, kids are supposed to read. Like, it's their job to find an awesome superintendent who then hires awesome principals, who then hires awesome teachers who have, you know, gone to the you know, Department of Public Instruction conferences about what's the best curricula to teach their children. It's not the realm of people who aren't in education, who haven't gotten PhDs or master's degrees in education, to be talking about what kids should be, should or should not be learning. Am I correct here?
Yes. A board's job is to set policy. And this book process was all vetted. There was a group of teachers and administrators, and they sat and looked at different programs and vetted them, and then came to the board for the approval. And the board decided on their own that they were going to become part of the vetting program. There was a reason that no board members were seated on that vetting committee, because that's not our job.
So this takes us then, so we've moved this from the curriculum level to the school board level. So let's take this a step higher to the community level. While we can say, you know, that this should not be the place of a school board, again, I feel like I'm being way too fair here, but I will for the sake of argument, is that people can say, well, you know, the school board is elected by the community. Our person got the most votes. And so clearly they must speak for the majority of the community, no matter what the majority of the community wants. That is democracy, yes, but that is hardly best practices when it comes to whether a school board or anything, a city council, a county board, whatnot, you know, just because a majority of voters think it should be operated like a theocracy, you know, does not make it the right way to go. But it does underscore, Jane, that, you know, the thing that you and I, or actually everybody here, has gone through an election and lost. And that is that whole notion of trying to get the word out to people that these things matter. The school board races matter. It's not just Biden versus Trump. And what are your own thoughts on that at the community school board election level, when you're trying to convey all this to voters who might back you, but just don't think about getting involved in voting in these kinds of things?
Well, it's really difficult when so much money was flooded into this race. In my first five elections, I probably spent $400 in all of those elections combined. And in this one, I took some in-kind donations that are going to be about $3,000. And it's just heartbreaking, because they have a radio station here in town that, the host has called me all kinds of names. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have access. They ran ads, and I don't know how to get people to vote. Hopefully they'll sit back and watch the next year and get out and vote next time. I know year the vote was down in my neighborhood.
Well, you know, if you're hearing negative ads, the whole point of negative ads is to decrease turnout and get everybody disgusted, so that the people who are just hell bent on, you know, overturning are the only ones that are actually going to be voting. So that's always what negative ads do. It's not like I've been looking at election history in Wisconsin for that long, but it seems like this last one at the local level, we've been hearing like the turnout was really high for school boards and county boards, and that's just not that normal in Wisconsin.
No. And hate is a good motivator.
Oh, it sure is. And I'll tell you what, this kind of comes back to something we talked about earlier, and that is the whole reason the state Supreme Court is messed up the way it is because a couple of years back, when Brian Hagedorn was on the ballot, he was way behind in the polls. Way behind when it was, you know, when it was shown that he was instrumental in starting a private school that actively discriminated against same-sex parents. And so he was way behind, to the point where voters got cocky. They got confident. They got complacent, whatever it is. And Hagedorn squeaked out a narrow victory, as opposed to right now we would have a progressive majority on there. So, you know, it just goes to again, underscore that these things we didn't normally pay attention to so much, state Supreme Court elections, school board elections, things like that, they do matter. They will matter now from now till, you know, our time is gone. We are not going back to the sleepy elections that we once had. So what I wanted to ask you, though, is we can't wait till the next election. Do you feel like there, this is a board now that will be in any way responsive to public comment, either at meetings or otherwise?
Absolutely not. They claim they wanted to be open and transparent. This is not a transparent process that they just went through. They claim that they will listen to all voters, and they made it very clear when they were running that they would not. They will listen to the people that voted to them. But that doesn't mean people should stay home and not speak up.
You know,
they need to get out there.
Well,
and I have to tell you, I just got a message that Hatchet is being read in one of our parochial schools by the fourth grade. They just started it today.
All right, we'll take it. You know, I've often heard better is the enemy of good. And, you know, by no means is the Democratic Party perfect. But it seems like, you know, among voters, because there's an expectation of something that isn't getting done, or maybe something isn't ideal, we use that to be disheartened and stay home, as opposed to, you know, cutting our losses. And, you know, it's never going to be perfect one way or the other, but recognizing we need to get in this game and we need to fight, because there is a movement in Wisconsin that is really scary right now. What advice do you have for our listeners to get in there and fight?
Get involved. You know, get involved with your local Democratic Party. Get out and knock doors when they ask you to, even though it's a really difficult thing to do for some people. You know, talk to your friends. Don't make politics a taboo subject. That's how they back us into these corners.
It sure is. They put you on defense. People don't want to get involved. They don't want to rock the boat. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't, these kinds of things happen. Jane Rush, thank you so much. We loved visiting with you. Wish you all the best, and look forward to talking again soon.
Okay, anytime.
All right, we'll wrap up the show after this. You're up north.
Okay, bye-bye.